Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the 7 Cents Cosmo Podcast. Joining me, of course, is my friend, Luis Zavala.
Hey, Luis Zavala, everybody right here. Hello. Good Sunday, everybody.
Absolutely. Are you ready to dive into the very first episode of Saint Seiya?
It is long overdue time, yes.
No, before we continue on, we want to make sure that to let everyone know that there are going to be spoilers, so if you haven't watched the episodes yet, please watch them first, come back, and then follow us, listen to us, watch us, talk about this episode. The first episode, called Revive Legendary Heroes, I have some notes here. Actually, we're going to, for all the anime series that was on Netflix, we're going to go by the Netflix listing. So they broke it down into seasons, whereas when this first aired in Japan, they didn't really have seasons. They just aired it year-round. So, yeah. But we're going to go by the Netflix listing. So this would be considered season one, episode one. The original pilot aired on October 11th, 1986.
Wow. So why that throws you back, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me grab my notes right here, too. Hold on. Because I got mine as well. Perfect.
So we first start off with the opening theme, Pegasus Fantasy, you know, the iconic theme song that every Saint Seiya fan knows about. So what do you think about that opening theme?
That opening thing is iconic for a reason, first of all. I mean, it is straight up like, it sounds, okay, you know how some theme songs for, you know, anything, whether it be a sitcom or an anime or something like that, how sometimes it only fits within the context of the show, right? This isn't one of those. This one, actually, I would actually listen to this song as a song outside of the show. And the only demand is that I want it to be longer. You know, it has a very Japanese metal sound to it, which, again, was very popular at the time. They were doing a lot of that during that era in Japanese animation. Personally, it has a very, very, very memorable chorus, and it's one that I think that a lot of people tend to like when they hear it. It leaves a very good first impression.
So the episode kind of starts off with the introduction, kind of this, the narrator voice talking about the history, you know, about the saints. Yeah. And what do you think of that, about that opening, you know, after the theme song and then like the introduction?
The opening actually had a very, I guess you could say, for me, it was almost, refreshing is not the right word, but it was kind of surprising because it really did remind me firsthand of Fist of the North Star. It kind of looked like with the burning cities and stuff like that, like it really did kind of create the impression of like, oh, post-apocalyptic is about and stuff like that. It really did create that impression. Even, you know, what we'll get to through as we speak about this, the violence level as well, you know, is kind of like, you know, has that kind of feel to it. The one thing that I think that they did really well in establishing the kind of vibe is that, especially for me as an American first timer, kind of sort of, you know, knowing nothing about anything, it kind of does have a little bit of a, has that shonen kind of a feel, but it also does feel like it's going to be a bit more serious than, say, you're at the Naruto or something like Dragon Ball. It actually presents itself quite a bit differently. And even though it isn't technically post-apocalyptic, at least yet, it actually does have that kind of feel to it. So I liked it.
Yeah, it definitely gives a good indication of what you're going to be in, you're getting yourself into, which is not a bad thing. You know, so definitely a good intro.
No, and not then a bad thing at all.
Yeah, and then after that, it opens up with the first look of the Galaxian Wars tournament. And also, we see two Bronze Saints. You know, these are not the Bronze Saint that we're going to get familiar with, but we see Unicorn Jabu and Lionette Bon. And this is just a snippet of what that Galaxian Wars tournament will be look like. And after that, we also get introduction of Sayori or Saori, wherever you are, depending where you are.
I remember Sayori. Yeah.
Yeah, we call her Sayori. And really just talking about, you know, kind of talking to her deceased grandfather that the Galaxian Wars tournament have started.
she has, like, the way Sayori is presented to me as a first timer is that, like, she knows a lot more than she's letting on, obviously. It's, as an audience, we're kind of thrust directly into this. Like, we actually have very little context as to what the Galaxian War is, but we know that it's happening right now, and that Sayori somehow has a role in what all of this is going to take, what everything's going to take place in, so to speak. It's subtle. It's very subtle the way it's being, the way it opens, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree about that. You know, she looks like she does know something.
Yeah.
And also, it's also very introductions to the characters that we're going to get invested with. So obviously, exactly. After that, it goes to Greece, Sanctuary, the home, the native home of all the saints. We see our main character, the main character.
Yeah, our main protagonist. Yeah. Yeah.
Our first main protagonist, Saya, and then Cassius, the person he'll be fighting against for the Pegasus cloth.
Yes. Yes.
And
we, oh, go ahead.
First off, like, Cassius is just a, you know, kind of, you know, just start off like in a cheating mode and just like smack Saya, like, yeah, even before the fight starts. I'm like, oh, come on, man. Come
cheating
on.
Immediately, already kind of playing the dirty tricks as what, yeah.
Yeah. And then we see like Marin is Saya's master, a teacher.
Yes.
And then we see Shina, you know, Shina is Cassius. Master and teacher,
like mentorish character, yeah.
Kind of mentor, and like Marin calling out to Cassius, hey, what are you doing? You know, that ain't fair.
Yeah.
And so kind of the bickering between the two mentors as well.
Yeah, they seem to have lent down the bickering towards their students, which is something that I noticed too.
The part where Cassius is about to chop off Saya's ear.
Yes.
Yeah, that was like, man, he's already about to, you know, deliver that blow already, like
already, yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then like out of instant, you know, say avoid it, and then instead it's Cassius' ears, that
his ear gets the one shot and it's all wiggling still.
Yeah. And then,
that was kind of surprising.
And then we kind of see like Cassius like realizing that like this Saya is different.
Yes.
Because, you know, flashbacks to him beating up Saya as a kid.
Exactly. He seemed to be like kind of like a what did they call it again? Glutton for punishment, or like just taking too much and not actually aggressing too much. So it's a shell-shocking moment that not only did he get his ear chopped off by Saya, but that it's seemingly out of character for Saya to suddenly take this this stance.
Yeah, definitely. And then like we see, you know, Saya, you know, basically beating up Cassius, like, no, yes. No issues whatsoever. And then,
yeah,
I actually like the part where you know, Cassius is delivering a punch, and then Saya holds, you know, blocks it, and then he talks about, it was like, oh, Cassius, you know, you think brute force is the only thing that works? I'm just paraphrasing, but yes. You know, one of the most famous lines that you'll ever hear, at least at the beginning, and then later on change a little bit, when Saya says, have you ever felt the universe burn inside your own body? And
yes,
it becomes very catchy. No,
it does. It does.
And what did you think about that, Luis? When we see that introduction when Saya first says that.
Well, when Saya makes it, well, actually, it's funny because when you kind of in the context of the way he says it, it is at a very, very specific point. He's not only giving a lesson to the. He's not only giving a lesson to his opponent, he's actually telling us, the audience, what the, you know, how his power is, you know, where he gets it from, right? It's like, and keep in mind, in this this specific fight, Saya is much smaller, like a smaller character that physically than the opponent that he's fighting in this one. Yeah. So it's like, it becomes something of a shell shock to him that how does this person who has strength, who's, I swear that guy probably kisses his own muscles in the gym, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, but it's like, how is it this strong guy lost to Saya? But what it is, Saya's kind of delivering to us, the audience, that it's not just the power that you have from within you. It's that you're becoming one with the universe. And by using and becoming one with its with the universe, you gain its power over smashing individual atoms. You know, once you are able to channel the universe works for you, which in many ways is something that a lot of philosophy that we live by today comes from. And I thought that was brilliant because it kind of, now we get a little bit of Greek mythology going in there. You got a little bit of philosophy, and it's interesting how it's coming out so fast. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then after that, it
really is.
No, we see a little flashback of his training about, you know, Marin talking about the Cosmo. You know, that is the power of a saint. And then we go to Saya, back to Saya, you know, getting a look, you know, about to do his famous attack, you know, the famous hand gestures of Pegasus, you know, the 13 stars.
How are they going to do that for the live action? Damn it.
I don't know. But you know, we will find out. We will find out. But then we see Seiya launching his first Pegasus meteor punch, or in Japanese, it will be Pegasus Yuseiken. Spanish would be...
I should have said the Spanish one, damn it.
Spanish would be... Mirioto de Pegasus? I'm not sure, but I think it was like that. I heard it before.
Yeah.
But, no, that theme song that's playing behind, no, the Pegasus Meteor Punch, I think that the soundtrack for that, the title for that song is Pegasus Yuseiken.
Yes, exactly. It's a theme song for the attack, so to speak.
And Seiya wins. Seiya defeats Cassius. And finally gets the Pegasus cloth. And the cloth is basically the armor of what saints wear to protect themselves. And then the Pope, the Grand Pope of Sanctuary.
Yeah.
You know, he basically reminds Seiya, like, hey, a saint's cloth is used to fight justice, not for personal desires.
Exactly. It's supposed to be used specifically for defending, not meant to use as a method of, so to speak, killing or offensive. It's supposed to be the defensive and responsibly too.
Yeah. So the whole Galaxian Wars tournament is it's kind of personal desires right there. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, Seiya gets the cloth, but Cassia's mentor is pissed.
Oh, she's angry because it's just like, you know, again, these are lessons that actually seemingly she either skipped over or her student just wasn't getting. What it seems to do is that there seems to be a, what's the word of it? From this point, there is going to be some sort of a revenge kind of feeling that she has towards not just Seiya, but to Marion as well. So it definitely comes off like, oh, nobody's safe. Everybody, like, that's one thing I do have to say. All bets are off when it comes to Saint Seiya. There's death. There is loss, actual loss, not just losing battles, but death, loss. That is something that happens in this series.
It quickly shows that, you know, Seiya is about to leave Greece to go back to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But Marin sensed that, oh no, Shina and her henchmen, you know, are going to come after Seiya. So they try to get Seiya to leave as quickly as possible, but unfortunately he didn't make it in time, and now he got to fight Shina.
Yep. Just like what we had previously said.
And I think the part was very funny. It was like Shina asked Marin, well, we're paraphrasing. It's like, you're not going to defend your student?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Seiya can handle it.
Exactly.
Then, full faith. Yeah, and then Seiya's like, what? Yeah, and then Seiya has to fight Shina. And Shina is a silver saint, one level above.
Yeah.
So it's like, uh-oh. So, you know, Seiya's only attack right now is the Pegasus Meteor Punch, which is, you know, for a silver saint, that's a slow attack. You can see right through it.
Exactly.
You know, and it gets very, like, scientific sometimes. Like, your punches are only Mach 1. I'm like, man, I don't know what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
This is my Saturday morning cartoon to learn about science.
Bill Nye the Science Guy, who needs that when you have this?
Yeah, so, and then we see Shina with her famous attack, Thunderclaw.
Yep. which is awesome, by the way.
No, beautiful. She is, her constellation sign is the, probably going to butcher how to say it.
I'm going to butcher it myself. Oh my God. Whoa.
Hibiscus? Obese?
I want to say Christ. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're going to have to forgive us. We'll have to do a better job next time.
Yeah. Well, I know
the English dub makes it sound really weird too. That's why.
I didn't watch the English dub. I watch it in Japanese subtitles, but they don't say in Japanese is obiscus or.
We'll call it that.
We'll look it up. we'll insert it, in a recording. Correct pronunciation.
Ophiuchus. Hebitsukaiza.
But that is her constellation sign. And then she's basically beating up Seiya. And Seiya has to kind of remember his training. Once he starts remembering his training, especially the stuff what Marin told him, he had the courage to open up the cloth box.
Exactly.
And that's where we first see the first, cloth transformation of Seiya.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Yeah. And, it's like this spinning maneuver gesture, putting all the cloth on. And just,
yeah.
It's very fancy.
It's very fancy. And the thing that's nice is that right there, it's a perfect way to set up for the audience, too. Hey, Seiya is allowed to defend life, including his own. So therefore, the cloth is able to be used for this. It's a legit reason to use it.
Yes. And what do you think happened when Seiya put on the cloth and then Shino's there? And when that first attack, what do you think happened to Seiya, Luis?
Okay. I thought that it was a stun moment, right? I thought he fainted. Kind of like what they do in some of the like Rama 1/2 type stuff, That was my first impression. But then it kind of surprised me. You're like, oh, wait, attacks were made. Just like it is a very kind of like surprise moment where I'm like, anybody who watches anime that has these kinds of like battle stuff, they always do this kind of like dramatic pause kind of thing going on. You're not quite sure who won the match and stuff like that, or like vice versa. Doing it this way, though, it still came out kind of stunning because I was like, how did he do it? How did he do it? What was that? Now you're going to be looking out for it,
But Seiya couldn't really fight in the cloth because of the weight. He didn't realize it.
Yes.
And then Marin.
He got a great attack, but then Marin. Yeah.
Marin has to tell him, a cloth has, needs like a soul. It has its own soul, too.
Yes, you have to be in sync with it.
Yeah,
that's the thing that the extra power. Yeah, the extra power that goes in with the cloth is not only the channeling the power of the universe, but now every one of the cloths has its own personality, its own soul that you now have to sync up with to really take advantage of what it does.
Yeah, so that's why he got another beat down. another
which
beat
is
down.
Another. Technically speaking, in many ways, he wins, but he loses. He wins learning something, but he loses out of willingness, I should probably say, from Shina.
And then all of a sudden, Shina's henchmen, or the foot soldiers.
Yeah, foot soldiers.
Let's call them foot soldiers. They're not even like henchmen level. They're just foot
not
soldiers.
Not even, yeah.
They think they could take on Seiya, so they start trying to gang up on him. Mm-mm. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, Shina, please let us take care of him. We want the cloth back,
Yeah.
And then Seiya's like,
boys, yeah.
This is like the first time I hear, this is the beginning of Seiya smack talk.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just funny.
He smack talks.
Yeah, he smack talks. Like, you think you trying to think what it was he said. It's like something.
I'm trying to remember what he said in the English dub. He said something around the lines. It was something very basic in the English one, but in the Japanese dub, it was something much more iconic. Because I know in the English dub, it was something like, you think you could take on me? It was like summarizing something like that, but it was just like, that wasn't the line in the Japanese one,
Yeah, so definitely Seiya is kind of a smack talker.
Definitely a smart ass. He totally is. Yeah.
He definitely is. And then, of course, he burns his Cosmo and take out those foot soldiers. And at the same time, because now at that point, he realizes that, the cloth has to have soul and power, and also in sync with his own Cosmo. And
exactly.
His Pegasus meteor punch was so fast that even Shina didn't see it.
Exactly.
And it destroys Shina's mask. Now, Shina is a saint that wears a mask.
Yes.
No, we'll get more into the history of that as to why in future episodes.
Yeah. But
the mask comes off.
Yeah. She didn't expect that either.
Yeah, didn't expect it either because she did not see, you know, the Pegasus meteor punch for the third time.
Exactly.
And, you know, you see, like, Shina's face is shocked.
Yeah. Surprised. Genuinely surprised.
Yeah, of course, says, and Seiya approaches her and says something really stupid, like, wow, I didn't. So you look like that underneath her mask? I thought you looked like a demon or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what in the world, Seiya? Why would you say something like that?
More smack talk. Again, more smack talk. So I just like he didn't like she didn't expect for her to be beautiful, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and this is not the end of Shina. You'll see her in future episodes because she is pissed.
Regardless if she was kicking his ass, you know?
Yeah. And then we cuts out to a scene with Marin and Seiya. Marin giving instructions. Okay, you go this way, you know, and then you're going to head back to Japan. Which, like, oh, is he, how's he getting back to Japan? By foot?
By foot? I know, like, that's a long walk, man.
You know, so I was like, okay. And then Seiya kind of want to see who's under Marin's face.
Yes.
Because that will, he thinks will lead to something else, which we're not going to talk about just quite yet because that'll be the next episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And Seiya heads back to Japan, about to head back to Japan, and then we end with the scene of, you know, kind of like showing all the other saints.
Yeah, giving us a tease of the other opponents in this tournament that's going on.
Yeah, and then the episode ends with the first ending theme called Blue Forever. What did you think of that theme song?
Ooh, wow. Okay, well, that was another case where I just like, again, one thing that you'll notice me say about the soundtrack to this is that it is a beautiful soundtrack that could be played with or without the anime and still be listenable. I would actually say that the ending theme has a much more somber feeling to it, but at the same time, it's somber is not the right word. It's just like, it has it feels like, actually appropriately, like you won a battle. Like, you know, you're like the calm after you just finished, you know? But it still has that adrenaline that you just, you know, you just have that adrenaline after you finish it off. It has these beautiful, beautiful pads that are intertwined throughout the whole song. The song, I would have to say right up there, I think that, especially for the first quote-unquote season, that has the best opener and ender songs, in my opinion, at least some of the most memorable, you know.
Nice.
I also, you can't help but also that beautiful art that it's mixed with. I mean, anything with the cosmos and stuff, everything with space and things like that. You see some of the constellations giving you a tease of what's to come. Beautiful stuff. Very beautiful stuff.
Absolutely. I agree. I definitely agree. And it is the opening, Pegasus Fantasy and Blue Forever. I mean, they're on my playlist. I own the soundtrack.
Me too. You gave it to me. I loved it.
I own the, not the most recent one, not the 30th anniversary collection. I was more the, I bought the gold collection that came out like probably the 2000s, early 2000s or something like that. So
probably like around the 20th anniversary or so for that.
Yeah. Then, yeah. So I have that collection. And
yeah, no, it's good.
It's, I mean, I still listen to it. There's no music from that soundtrack from time to time. It's on my phone. Yeah. I will play it. And because it still holds up. It resonates with me. You know, it's still good music.
Well, that's exactly what I was something I wanted to touch on really quick, since what we're doing, this is after we summarize these episodes, something I just want to touch on is the, might I just add, the beautiful art in this. I mean, anime in its prime, in my opinion, was in the 80s and 90s. Like, when the stylistic, like, I know it's rough and it's a little bit, it's a little bit like, you know, choppier compared to what a lot of anime fans are used to today. But the shadowing, the shading, the dramatic lighting, these are things that I was introduced to anime with, like stuff like this, you know, something that I could point right off the bat. Actually, I don't mind the dub. The dub is actually pretty good. The thing that I have to say is that Seiya sounds like he's much older than he's supposed to be. In the Japanese one, he sounds like he's like early teen or something like that. Is like, you know, voiced by someone around like that. But here it's like he sounds like he's like 21 years old. So it's like even like the way he speaks is like that of a 20-year-old, you know. Not a bad thing, but it is a little bit jarring. He is, I believe he's actually even cockier in the English dub, which I think is going to take a little getting used to.
When I was I think around 7 or 8 years old.
Damn.
You know, I wasn't watching it in Japanese. I was actually watching it in Cantonese.
Oh, so, yeah. Hong Kong. Yes.
Yeah. The Hong Kong dub of Saint Seiya, which I was able to get it here in the States because we have a lot of these different small little mom and pop shop, you know, in the community that gets a lot of different television shows from Hong Kong. This is back in VHS day, so we had to wait till it gets here.
Like, you showed me clips of the Cantonese, but I actually really like the way it sounds too.
Yeah. And for me, when I first saw this episode, you know, as a kid and also later on as a teenager, when I started watching it in Japanese, you know, it still hit me the same thing. I was like, this is awesome.
Exactly. It's a really good show.
You know, maybe for someone who was 7, 8, probably should have watched this series too early.
It is violent, it is guys. Honestly, it is very violent.
When I get to high school, it's like, wow, I was watching this when I was 7 or 8. I'm like, man.
What was I thinking? I dare not even think about trying. First of all, I will never watch the Deke dub tragedy because I heard about the censorship that they did in that one. But I don't know how they would censor it, even just the first episode alone, how much they would have to censor. Because it was really shocking how much gets censored.
You know, I think the first episode was a pretty good one. I liked it.
The damn good one. Good introduction. I mean, it got me on board and I didn't know anything about it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we want to know what you guys think of the very first episode of the original anime series, Saint Seiya. Have you watched it yet? Leave your comments below. What are your favorite scenes? What are the things you like about it? What are the things you don't like about it? You know, let us know in the comments below.
Definitely. And again, if it would also let us know what dub you watched. If you're from the Hispanic one or listen to one of the Spanish dubs, let us know what you think.
But until next time, we'll see you in the next episode. Keep that Cosmo burning.